Dear Venerables, sisters and brothers, Dhamma friends, we are going to take time for the day's talk in this retreat number 190. May everyone settle down for the talk and give the consent with three times sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස කතමේ තයෝ ධම්මා පහතප්පා තිස්සෝ තණ්හාති තී Dear venerable sisters and brothers, Dhamma friends, as we all know, we are in a residential retreat, full-time. When we are in a retreat like this, specifically for 10 days, it's a significant value as far as the time is concerned in any measure. So each of us clearly knows how much difficult for us to have such a long time for purpose like this, for the mindfulness, and how much should we plan to have it. So we all succeeded, successfully planned it. Now we are under one roof. That means we have one step ahead. And the strategies, the ways, the means we used to earn this time will not be enough, not sufficient enough to achieve the next step in this journey. So therefore, once we come here, after giving consideration and planning, we have to re-appreciate and rethink about how should we allocate time, how much should we punctual to achieve this, the next stage. So those who have already taken time for a retreat very well knows what are the ways and means to decide the success of the retreat. And the person who has meditated the longest is the one can understand how should I facilitate this to gain the maximum benefit. So Buddha to be is the best. So he after became the fully enlightened being, he gave a second thought from our point of view. Then he tried to summarize the most effective, valuable ways to facilitate the time we earn for this mindfulness. And that appear in the book of 5, Panchahi Bhikkave Dhammehi Anugahita Sammaditya Chetopala Vimuttyaji Chetopala Vimutti Samapatyaji Panyapala Vimuttyaji Panyapala Vimutti Samapatyaji. O monks, I understand there are 5 ways to facilitate to achieve our final goal, and that I would like to teach you, share with you. What 5? The first and foremost thing for the rest of our retreat, most important thing is, the Buddha mentioned, the sila anugahita, our moral or morality, moral restraint. So we all know we have taken 8 precepts as our moral code, the at least. So therefore each and everyone must understand we must adhere to the precepts or moral code, and that must be a norm, that must be the datum line upon which only we can go ahead. So therefore everyone must be thorough about the precepts each and everyone is adhering to following. So that's why I mentioned in the question and answer session, if you have any doubt, don't make it a perplexity, entertain doubts. Instead, just raise the question and clarify it, because that is a kind of a book knowledge you must have. Why one should have such precepts. So we had a Danish monk, and he became a monk. Previously he was a film director, and his father was a Italian, and that one day I was very happy to tell him, we are holding into and we are true to type our precepts, and therefore we have a very jolly good life, and we are very happy. We are not fighting with anyone. Non-reactional way we are going. He also a junior member or junior practitioner with us. He was very happy. But do you know, Bande, in Italy, there are very, very serious Catholic or some other sects, monasteries. They are very strict into their rules and they are also not using any money. They are not even looking at females, not allowed to go there. They are going into the meditation. After the death, only the carcass can take it out. They can't come out. The whole life is there. And then he showed me all the monasteries, very nice, beautiful places with the gardening and horticultural on top of the mountain. And he told, due to my father, I know they are not using money. But they do not know why. But in difference, you know why you should not. Because Buddha has clearly indicated what are the disadvantages of usage of money. So imagine how much they will be happy if you can share with them, communicate with them and tell them, you see, we are also not fun using money, you also not using money, we are both are happy, very simple people. But I know, as a Theravada monk, Buddha has clearly indicated. So, you also adhering, but how much will be more beneficial for you to know why it is? So likewise, but he told, his remark was, the last thing happen on the earth will be communication, you with them, because you are living in two different worlds. No communication. The point I am making is, even if you are adhering to the precept, if you do not know how it facilitates your next step, you won't reap the highest benefits. So you must know why this rule is. There are utility value. There is no aesthetic value there. There is no any other mystic value there. A realistic value. So therefore, first and foremost, you must have precepts. That precept, you must know why you are taking. It must not be a burden for you. It must not be a reason to be doubt or entertain doubts. Don't think it is something imposed like commandments. You have to clearly understand the precepts or moral restraint and commandments. Literally, difference. Organically, difference. Purposefully, difference. There is no fear involved here. You are the one accept it. You hold it just like a garland to beautify your journey. It is not someone coming superimposed upon you and interpreting upon you. No. So therefore, it must not be a burden. And you must know the reason why the Buddha interpreted it, recommended it. And 2600 years continuously it has been adhered, and those who are adhering, even without the next level of benefits, they are down to earth. They are very, very simple people. So if you also wish to be a simple, humble person, one part of it is to go away with the things which is not belongs to you. Even the Jesus mentioned, the things belongs to King George, please give it to King George. Money is not belongs to us. It belongs to the finance minister or the governor of the central bank. That's why they have put their signature. So give them. Then only the happiness. Then only the renunciation. So precepts. Precepts is not only money. I am taking an example. Each and everything you must understand. That very understanding is it is giving a kind of a preparation of the mind. You go prepared with this mindset. So it must not be a mystic. It must not be something imposed upon you. At the beginning maybe, but that's a reason for you to ask questions and to verify it and how it helps facilitate, according to the terminology of the Buddha, to the next step. So first and foremost, please remember this is just a briefing, the precepts. The second thing is what we are doing now. You have to listen to the Prince teaching. Not that you are unlearned people, not that you are illiterate people, not that you are not the people of knowledge. Definitely you all are. But when we are practicing, there should have a brushing of your knowledge leading to the next stage. That means get rid of all the other nonsense, all the other knowledges for the moment and just listen to the prescription and the instructions of this series of medicine. Just like you are in a residential hospital. So doctor will come and tell you the prescribed this thing and the nurse will come and tell you take this pill 3 times a day before the meal. Likewise, you must understand the instructions. So instructions wise, present day, so much of meditation traditions, lineages. And it for me, when I started at about 1977-78, there were no much of complication. Meditation was not in the day-to-day life. So when I searched there, accidentally, if at all I am to meet up with, only one thing available, so I started. But at that time, even the group that I associated, they told, there are so many of things, whatever may be verifiable must be the thing you must select, not the mystical thing, not the fabulous teaching, not the beautiful teacher, not the theory, rationality, but something verifiable. So it's a challenge, it is something involved, organic. Whatever you do, there is no mystics here. There is no complications here which you can't understand. Each and every must, every stage, every final goal, it is something tangible, something you can verify. So therefore, teaching what we are going to do, we are learning, each and everyone must be a facilitating one, not the theory for the sake of theory. To make the point more clear, imagine the amount of academic centers on worldly matters, the rate it is developing. When we are going, only 3 universities in Sri Lanka, and now I don't know how much. So you can understand how much the educated people we are making, schools, and many, many other things. Each and everything, please check when you go back home, extrovert, learning about something outside. So no end, infinitum. Outwardly, so you keep on going, you send the mind mad. This is insight. This is the only technique, go inwardly. Exactly the technique, but the direction is changed. I am not telling exclusively you must adhere to and limited to insight, but I am telling is insight is the lacking one. When and where you get the insight or inside compared to it outside, then it is natural growth. As if you are doing a tightrope walking, you have to have 2 umbrellas on the 2 sides. Then only you can balance. Or you are taking a big pole. But of course you would have seen the monkeys are balancing with single tail. Never mind. But the 2 things are the thing humans are using. Inside, outside. So we may be experts on the outside things that never give any hint, any indication you are advancing or qualified to learn who am I. We have never even started. So this is the difference in teaching of the Buddha, or rather meditation instructions. It is always inwardly. When and where you verify something, you can see through deductive knowledge, rational knowledge, or argumenting the outside, the comparison. That is deductive. That is rational knowledge. And that may be changing, varying. We are coming from different climate, different places, varying. But the thing is, the most lacking thing is insight or introvert or centrifugal, not the centrifugal power. So that is what we are going to do within these 10 days. So therefore, we try our best. We use all the tools, all the ways and means to put it introvert. So therefore, there should have a kind of a guidelines, theoretical refreshments or understanding while you are practicing. So it is called Sutanugrahita. We can say book knowledge, we can say theoretical understanding, and you can say what you get from the teacher. And it is also not for academic achievements. It is not to get a degree or something like that. But it must be a very practical one put into practice. And while practicing, whatever you rationalize, whatever you deduce must be verified. So theory is, therefore, three times, three levels, three layers, three grades. First you listen. Out of the listening, you take something, a part of it, which is addressing you, your favorite, so that you rationalize, you deduce, you analyze it. So out of all bunch of knowledge, only proportion, only percentage only you analyze it. And out of the analyzed thing, out of the deduced thing, only little portion you put into practice. Soon you put into practice, your rationalization will be justified. Of course, through the discussion, of course, through dialogue, you can share with the fellow meditators. That's the third part. The Buddha is explaining that the discussion, the dialogue. The first and foremost thing is, whatever you experience, whatever you touched, whatever you see, that must verify the deductive knowledge that you deduce from the theory. So they are happening in gaps. Theory knowledge is a very vast area. Out of that there is a rational knowledge or deductive knowledge. Out of that only little part you put into practice and you verify. In agriculture we are learn yield gaps. Whenever you give the maximum condition and when we are growing plants or crop inside a laboratory with 100% humidity, abundant fertilizer, abundant labor, we can mark the maximum crop out of the product, very limited. Then we can calculate what must be the crop if you go for 1 acre or 100 acres. And when and where you put that crop into the field level at the laboratory, you can't gain that much of results because the outside condition is little drastic, not much conducive. So whatever the fertilizer you give, whatever the labor you give, the crop yield gap is there from the lab to the field. That's called the yield gap. And then there also you are not limiting the labor, not limiting capital, fertilizer. Then you take few farmers, exemplified farmers, and then ask them to grow it. There's another yield gap, another drop at the field level. So after collecting all the two yield gaps, calculation has to go. What will happen if it goes to normal farmer? Will there be any improvement from their traditional varieties? And will it be economically viable? So always we have to think about two yield gaps. Likewise in the meditation also, when you are practicing and whatever you experience when you are going to put into practice among the meditators within the retreat, there will be some loss. And from the retreat atmosphere, when you go back home, another loss. So it's a theoretically valid things. So therefore, whenever you theory, whenever listening, talks and kind of thing, and when you put into practice, the verifiable part, the when you have the direct touch, indicate how much you are progressing. But the most important thing, the third part is, if you can't report it, no use. So their communication is the one galvanizing your knowledge and reinforcing your knowledge. Whatever you experience, you must have the ability to report short to the point and short and sweet. So it is correcting your language. It is correcting your presentation. It is correcting your grammar. So therefore, whatever the skill you have on these fields, now you have to streamline to the direct experience related to the basic instructions given, how much I experience and how much I can reveal it, how much I can express it, how much I can articulate it. And that part may be the most challenging part in the retreat. Because the experience-wise, we are well off, better off. But the what should be right, what should be expressed, we have so much of ignorance. Knowledge-wise, theoretical and practical experience-wise, there's a much appreciable situation. But how to express it? Oh, express short to the point, everyone like born again children. Everyone like just newly born beginners. To make the situation ease, or to tell the better part of it, Upandita Sayadaw, one of my teachers, he says, if the practitioner is practicing and still, if he or she can't express or give a good report, 100% bad marks go to the teacher, not to the practitioner. Because there is no such a course on the earth. How to express my experience? Always we are cheating. Always we are exaggerating. Always we are gloss over. Whole world is completely finished by information technology. Killed. What we are expressing is not the what is happening. Always we are adjusting, you are bending the truth, beautifying it, so much so, ultimately you miss the bus. I have to listen 3 times at least to get the message. It is just marketing. It is just marketing. So those who have taken so much of steps and gone forward, they will see they have to completely de-learn the process, deconstruct the process, short to the point, innocent, as it is. So that language you are using in the dialogue, so always we have, but we never use it because the world is cheating. More you learn, more you become aged, you are more cheating when compared to the children. So therefore, as far as this dialogue or the discussion is, it says, you must develop the beginner's mind, just tell what you experience, not what it should be, not that you edited, not that your commentary is the direct what happened. Whenever such a direct communication happened, we develop kind of a brotherhood or sisterhood, feel like we are in the same family. We are talking the same language. So when that happens, the comprehensive or collective energy pushing you towards the main goal. So therefore, when the dialogue happens very efficiently, when the discussion happens very efficiently, everyone gained the results. Even one person, if he or she can exactly explain, this is my object of meditation, this is how I advert my mind into the object, and this is what I experience. Only 3 things. No nonsense. No cock and bull stories. No gossiping. This is like a legal document at the court or scientific reporting in your PhD thesis. So, therefore, we have to always understand the communication aspect, what we call dialogue, we call discussion. That discussion, whenever everyone learn how to express as it is, as if the Buddha is coming to the center of the discussion, it's so lively. So much so, it says, if a nice discussion happens or dialogue happens, you get the whole body exercise. Your whole body and mind become fully massaged or sauna bath. Only very rare exercises we have to get the whole body, horse riding, swimming, or climbing a coconut tree. They are the only thing giving the exercise to the whole body. But if you can have a dialogue or discussion or communication, your whole, each and every cell, each and every particle in you become catalyzed. So therefore, the third aspect is, the Buddha says, sakaccha anugahita, dialogue, the discussion. So you must try your best just to let others know, just write, just what experience, what comes to know. Not that what you find in the book, not that your mother told you, not that your religious master told you, not that your mind is craving. They are also true, but you have to tell them, this is what my mother told, this is what I learned in the book, this is what my priest told, this is what my mind tell. It's okay. But how do you experience the object? It's a completely physics. No emotion, no commentaries, nothing, cut and dry. Very difficult. Our language is more towards camouflage, gloss over, more towards exaggeration. Ultimately, everything becomes utter exaggeration, no essence. So if it is so, we are cheating ourselves. wasting time. And therefore, that also must be, you have to keep in our mind. And once that you have the precepts and the necessary theoretical understanding in the sense of instructions and the ability to communicate, then and there what you experience or your question or your difficulties, then third aspect is facilitating the concentration. With the help of everything, you try to keep your mind face to face with an object longer time. More you keep single object, that is the single definition for the concentration. There you may find, unless otherwise you have precepts, unless otherwise you have to show to the point precise instructions, unless otherwise you know how to report, mind is a monkey mind, jumping from one to the other without any prior notice. You don't consider this as a burden, this is the normal thing. It is not your own thing, the human mind. So knowing that, see how quickly, how frequently, how again and again you can keep the mind in the single object. So that we call samatankahita, or one-pointedness, or focusing power. And the fifth one, vipassananugahita in Pali, that means when you keep the mind with one single object for longer, you have to see how the object is changing. Is it permanent or is it evolving, changing, metamorphosis? And one thing leads to the other. So, critical looking at the object and observing the very thing help you to be concentrated is what we call insight. So, therefore, you are not love the object. You never expect object to be permanent and lovable and self. You just see even that very object you selected to keep the mind calm and quiet. You are observing the very object, whether it is changing, whether it is evolving, whether it is metamorphosized. The day you report it, you become acrobat. You learn how to play acrobatic. So it is such a difficult thing. So that is why the last thing. So therefore, it is not the mere matter of keeping the object with longer time. Even after that, you have to have a critical outlook towards that object, how frequently the object take different shapes, change it to different manners. So the convention of shapes and the convention of manners, then your mind become completely working. Your whole brain is working. Otherwise, only 2% of your brain, or 3%, maximum 4% of your brain may be working, just like with the horse, with the blinkers. Your mind is focused to some particular specialization, all the others are completely dead and gone. Not that dead and gone, they are benumbed, freezed. But whenever you are observing the object with such a sharpness, the very object help promote one-pointedness. You are looking at the object, is it exactly the same throughout, or that very object itself changing the shapes and the manners. So, how difficult to express that in your interview report. It is not so difficult if you go prepared. But if you instead go conditioned to expect the object permanent, lovable, desirable, and my soul, it is under my control, it is governable, like, definitely whatever you are writing is, will indicate who you are. So therefore, in this retreat, we are always keeping all the five open. Always check whether your precepts are intact. Always see you are familiar with the instructions. Always see day by day you are developing skill to report properly. Always you must see whether you can keep the object longer and longer, your posture longer and longer. And fifth aspect is, while you are observing, how the shapes are changing, how the manners are changing. So, whenever you train it under the serious condition like doing nothing and just observing something like sitting meditation, it's a laboratory, like full equipped lab. You are sitting, doing nothing and just experiencing. And it's like a field experiment. When you are walking, you do something. Intentionally, you change your legs. And meanwhile, you try to keep left leg, right leg permanently. Sorry, continuously. Still, you know your intentions are there. And in the day-to-day activities, so much of posture junctions, different aspects, and how much you can keep the mindfulness. This will cover retreat atmosphere. When you go back at home, at your working place, you have to do multitasking. You have to do so much of demanding thing. How much you can apply mindfulness over there. Otherwise, useless. Otherwise, you have to be in the retreat. Of course, it is possible these brown-colored people are them. They are full, the whole day, the whole time is retreat. They are meditating. But present day meditation, mindfulness, is more towards the lay people. That is how for the last 30-40 years, catch the momentum, specifically in the developed countries, because they found the applicability to the day-to-day life. As a person, I observe for the last 40 years, how the present day popular mindfulness, using for therapy, using for healing, using for curative, I was thinking, why not use mindfulness for prevention? No one on the earth talk about that. No one. So, can we try to use mindfulness not to have curative or therapeutic or prevent the healing? Of course, it's a byproduct. But to preventive way. So, lucky enough, when I come to the Nisanavane in 1988, field was open. There's no hard and fast rule. And I found Nisarnvani point of view, they are looking down the healing aspect of mindfulness. They are looking down the therapeutic aspect. But the preventive part is not highly highlighted and presented as a technique. So I discuss number of Sri Lankan learned people, they are interested in meditation. What about changing this aspect and give this new idea to the world? Use mindfulness for preventive. But there's a very beautiful truth, or we can say very ugly truth. Preventive and healing, you can make a commodity. If you are teaching mindfulness for preventive, that cannot make commodity. No one like it. You can't make business out of that. It is not multi-billion-dollar business. This business is utterly volunteer, free of charge. But you have to understand the perspective. Outside, you may learn the term mindfulness, awareness, so much. Nowadays, one person told, there is no university on the earth. Either they have a faculty or research room on mindfulness. Everywhere is doing. And so much of criticism, so much of side effects, so much of after effects of mindfulness. So I had my firm belief right from the beginning, mindfulness is the only thing on the earth, no side effects, no after effects. But when you are doing it, or using, I would say, misuse it for therapy and the healing, there may be some side effects because they are not concerned about the precepts. They are not concerned about the morality. They are not concerned about the theoretical knowledge. They are not concerned about the dialogue and direct show to the point. They are only going for quick methods to stress reduction. Or that problem, this problem. So therefore, here what we are going to do is use, that may be, whenever you have a stress, when you become mindful, definitely you can feel it, it is reducing. But in this retreat, all the talks, all the discussions is directed very systematic way to give the attention more and more to the preventive side. Prevention is better than cure. So I took that example in the last mindful conference to the health sector. See the preventive part, family health, community health versus the medical side that is called therapeutic side. Therapeutic side is earning money like hell. From the birth to the death, everything is up to the doctor. If the doctor is telling you are dead, you are dead. If the doctor is not telling that you are dead, you are not dead. Now doctor is deciding. But what happened to the therapy, prevention? What happened to the family health we had? We at the younger stage, we had the family health, we had the community health score. Exactly the same thing happened in Buddhism also. The preventive part is completely forgotten. So that is why these 5 points, 5 facilities are important. I don't know how much efficiently I am communicating with you. I don't know how much you are appreciating it, how much you understand it, but we'll try. We'll try within 10 days. Can we change the perspective? If it is so, it's very straightforward, shortest cut, straight line. The topic what I am going to take is not this, the Anugrahita Sutra that I already explained. The topic we are going to take is from the Dasuttara Sutra, that is we find in the Dīgha Nikāya, the long discourses, the last discourse in the 32 discourses in the Dīgha Nikāya, that is to say, long sayings of the Buddha. And the last 2 discourses is not directly from Buddha. It is some kind of a comprehension or epistemological try of Venerable Sariputta. He was thinking the Buddha was delivering sermons for different people under different context and no recording. What will happen after 100 years? Imagine backward 2600 years. No writing, no any teaching techniques, everything is just listening and talking. So he tried to compile all the knowledge he got, maybe with the help of Venerable Ananda. He was always traveling with Buddha, and ultimately he put up all the knowledge into the book of one. The Buddha gave a 1 discourse with 1 single fact. And the second part is book of 2, whole discourse talk about only 2 things. And the third book talk about 3 points. Likewise, he went up to 11 points, 11 books. That comes as the discourse number 31, Sangeeti Sutra. That gave the draft, or that gave the skeleton for the first synod soon after 100 days of the great demise of the Buddha. Before the Buddha's demise, Venerable Sariputta passed away. But his discourse was there. He told the teaching of the Buddha, the knowledge can be summarized, book of 1, book of 2, book of 3, book of 4. Likewise, he accumulated, and if you follow them, fairly you can see the skeleton of the whole teaching of the Buddha. Otherwise, you have to read 54 books, thick books, very difficult to do within one human life, human existence. In Burma, for the moment, we have 3 or 4 monks. They have all by heart, all the Tripitaka. So the kings used to give the complete facilities for monks, giving the everything, please do by heart. And later, due to the wars and other kind of thing, the Buddha, the Burma lost the lineage. No one knows the whole Tripitaka. Of course, it is written on the books. And then the king told, if you are going to take time, your whole monastery will be taken care by the government. Still no much of candidates. Then he told, if you are giving time and learning the Tripitaka, your mother and father will be completely taken care by the government. And then later he told, whole family will be taken care. And you hold your second generation of your disciple, third generation of this, but everyone will be taken care by the government. And then again, they got little bit of a upheaval. And they are maintaining at the number 5. When I am visiting in 1992, I participate the funeral of such a Tripitaka Dhara Mahathero, and the whole country is respecting them. Before I leave, there is a young monk appeared as a Tripitaka Dhara. So, it is a number of exams, and in the Kabaye, the big conference hall, you can see sometimes preparing for the final exam. The chief monk is sitting here, the candidate is there, candidate has no books, and the lay person is with the full Tripitaka right there, and the chief monk is asking a question, and the disciple, the candidate has to answer. Immediately, lay person is turning the pages and say yes or no. The chief monk also fairly knows. No mercy. Everyone is a failure. So 100-odd number of people come, monks. And sometimes they take the Tripitaka Dhara, Ekapitaka Dhara. Whenever they declare, the Tripitaka Dhara is like a pope selected. Whole country celebrate. So if you are to do it, I think you have to reborn, not in this life. But when Jnananda Katukunde Jnananda says, if you can put the Tripitaka CD into your pocket, then you are Tripitaka Dharma. We have CDs now. In Chattasangayana CD, 6 languages, all the books are there, so easily you can put into your pocket, so you can be a Tripitaka Dharma. But how much you absorb it, how much you accept them, the taste it, it's a different issue. But in the Venerable Sariputta's issue, at the beginning he compiled it. So therefore, if we analyze the human brain, this is the first time in the human history the epistemology came into being. Knowledge was there even before that, but they were not organized. They are not put into graphic model. They are not tabulated. But the first effort in Sangita Sutta, just accumulation of information. The sutta we have selected is the 32, which is called Dasuttara Sutta. Venerable Sariputta, at the beginning he says, Dasuttaram pavakkhami pattum nibbana patya. Now I am organizing all the teaching of the Buddha with a single direction of liberation. Earlier it's about the theory for the sake of theory. Dasuttara Sutta, it is a 10 by 10 graph. It's asking 10 questions for single fold answer. Another 10 question fold, the double fold answer. And another question fold, 3 fold answer, up to the 10. So therefore, if anyone wish to understand, comprehend what is the teaching of the Buddha specifically on the Sutta Pitaka, please go through it. And if you can understand the essence, the crux, the pith of the teaching of the Buddha. As for the singular retreats are concerned, now we are on the book of 9. But as far as the English medium is concerned, now we are on the book of 3. The question in the book of 3, of course it is systematic questions. Venerable Sariputta is asking from the congregation of the monk, what are the 3 things one should be abandoned? The Buddha has taught Sammaya to someone, there are 3 things you must get rid of, abandon. So Venerable Sariputta himself is asking, O monks, O dear fellow meditators, O Dhamma brothers, what are the 3 things Buddha taught us to get rid of? Then he says, Tayo Tiso Tanha, 3 kinds of cravings, greediness, 3 kinds of desire. So this must be the topic of our series of talks. But you know, whenever the Buddha explained the 4 Noble Truths, first he explained the truth of suffering. And then second truth, he said the single fold proximate cause for suffering, that is desire. So we are fighting, we are declared fighters for desire. But we can't comprehend it. So to make the task easier, the Buddha himself explained the desire in 3 tiers, 3 layers, 3 trikis. Kama tanna, bhava tanna, vibhava tanna, sensuous desire, or desire for existence, or desire for non-existence. 3. So then the task is sizable, otherwise uncomprehensible. For example, the desire, greed, we call theory of gravity, theory of attraction. So they are very famous things we learn in the school. Theory of gravity is, earlier it was a science subject, now everyone knows. According to the Sir Isaac Newton, if you put a stone up there, it will pull back as a gravity. Likewise, each and every person adjusts their life according to their own desire. Desire can explain each and every action from birth to death, morning to evening. So, as far as we are living within the orbit of the earth, can we think a place where there is no gravity? Impossible. So, we accept it. We accept gravity is something basic thing. So, therefore, each and every person accept desire is the motivation. Through that only, everyone continue their life. But the teaching of the Buddha is, you can get rid of it. So, it is like how to live in the world within the orbit of Earth without gravity. So, therefore, before the plane, aeroplane started, before the other things we can go away from the gravity comes, we knew We are living in the gravity, we are in the deepest bottom of the ocean of air. We can't live without that. But what will happen when you take a plane? The plane is going up without falling, and when it goes to the 33,000 up there, the gravity is different, air pressure is different, everything is different. So therefore, soon you go to the plane, they will tell you, this is what it happened. So you can go up to that there, and you can experience and safely come back. Whenever an astronaut goes beyond the gravity level, they find the, within the universe or within the galaxy, gravity exists in a very, very limited places. Vast area is without any gravity. So we think gravity is a must, 100% from morning to evening. But whenever the astronaut goes out, he sees the gravity exists in a very thin layer of a very big outside objects like planets and other big objects. But soon you go out of that, no gravity. So can astronaut come and tell us, hey, you guys are idiots, you all are foolish, you all are darkness, you are living in gravity, you don't know when you go out of there, no gravity. Then we will say, he has gone crack. And he will think, we are crack. There are two things. It is existing things. Within the world, not less than 4% of the area experience gravity. All the other areas is in just space. No even molecules of air. No gravity. The world is, or galaxy is such. But our knowledge is limited to the earth. We are fighting to get the this country and that country and that mine and this mine, mining the country, and we are fighting, fighting, fighting. We don't know when you go out of the galaxy, out of the orbit, there's no galaxy, no gravity. Likewise, if you go out of and see, you can see the fog in a well, like we are utterly thinking within the gravity. But physically, if you can go out there, you can see the outside. Is gravity something artificial? Natural thing is no gravity. Nothing to hit against. So when you go there, relatively you don't know whether you are moving or not. You are rotating or not. Because to be compared, nothing there. But here, each and every movement, we have immediate comparison. Relatively, moving forward, moving backward, east, west, turning, everything is there. Because our knowledge is limited to earth. And within that only we have the politics, we have the property, we have the socialization, civilization, everything. But if you go out, it's a different story. So whenever the Siddhartha Gautama, he started with the matter, he started with the earth. And he comprehended it, went through it utterly. And then he found matter is you can dissolve into. Ultimately, it becomes subtle and subtle and subtle and going to subtle matter or no matter. Still, he's not mad. He's not something abnormal. So, those who have gone to matter to antimatter or no matter, every time they go crazy. They can go schizophrenic. They can be bipolar disease. Because we never think we can comprehend any place. The matter you can see through, it can completely dissolve. So in a meditation retreat within 10 days, can be, look at one thing, observe it till it disappears. Still you can, you are not mad. You can again come back and again start it. It is scientific because you can check it everywhere. Once you have done it, any person can do it. So whenever such a one thing appointed, like a breath or left and right or rising and falling, consider this as a part and parcel of the materiality and look at it. More and more you look at it, you can see evolution of the very matter. Our mind is rigid. Our mind is not happy to see the change of the pivotal point, change of the reference point, change of the crux. Then we feel threatened. We feel baseless. So we go crazy. So this is an example, parallel example. So likewise, our desire, greed, the Buddha put into three, the sensuous desire, that is to have nice sceneries, sounds, entertainment of sounds, smells, taste, and the touch. So no one on the earth died happy and saturated with these five. Whatever that you do at the death, there is a vacuum. I have to see in some more dramatic visual 3D things. Whatever happens, we take chance to look at it. And whenever you are seeing, you have no chance to entertain music. Your seeing is, whenever you become a seer, you cannot be a hearer. The seeing faculty is destroying everything. So therefore, music is, or ear is waiting till the eye is not domineering, and then they become a listener, entertain music, whatever it may be. And then only then, the smell can take a chance. Then only taste, and then the touch. So these five are fighting like vehemently, fighting each other. And we mad people call all the five as myself. If you know these beasts, how they were killing each other, how they are domineering each other, never at peace. So therefore the Buddha says it like a wild animals. You catch from the forest and tie them and everyone tie together. And then the most powerful animal, if it's a crocodile, it will pull everything to the water. If it's a jackal, it will pull everything to the carnal ground. If it is a dog is going to powerful, it will pull you into the village. If it's a eagle or big bird, it will take everything to the air. If it's a big fish, it will put it in the water. So if the Buddha is asking, where is the peace of mind? It's utterly frustrated. It's utterly tension. Because these five animals have their different domains and different food feeding habits. No control, no bookkeeping. Please, no bookkeeping. The day you going to keep the book, you find you are crazy. You will start to run in midnight as if you have seen a ghost. That's why we lock the doors at the 10 o'clock. Otherwise, we are accountable for you. And this monk, of course, run away. He run away. And early morning when you are finding that man missing. So we are answerable to the embassy, not to the Buddha. They will come and ask that you must be take responsible. If you are the mentor, he must be sleeping person, must get up in the next morning. But you see a ghost, you run away. Don't get mad, don't go mad. This is normal in the meditation center. Where else we can expect it? So therefore, when we try to touch the subject of sense desire, it becomes private and confidential. No one is happy to share. That's my privacy. But here when we are writing interview reports, we don't care, we just write. We just write. Whenever I apply my mind to the breath, the sound came and disturbed. The visual objects came and disturbed me. Other physical objects came and disturbed me. Smells, tastes. So you find it, they appear like criminals now. In the day-to-day activities, if you see and hear, it appear like an entertainment. Now, whenever you selected one single object, all the other objects appear like an enemy. So, best thing is to keep a book or bookkeeping. There you can understand what to fight. No one at peace. Never. Nowhere. Oh, this is the mad world. So, can we comprehend within these 10 days or within this life? It's a big question. But anyway, right from the beginning, if you know your magnanimity of your task, just let the mind to play hell. Just keep an eye. Just observe. So, who is the observer? Who is the dancer? I look at myself. My mind is looking at myself. So, this game, can a third person come and join? Unless otherwise he is much advanced, other person only can mess the situation. Still, without an advanced yogi, this particular person also very difficult to sort it out. So therefore we claim like we as the beginners, just learners, give a chance. Observe as much as possible. Don't deny any piece of information. Don't interpret it. Don't react it. Then you can understand that desire. If you can cut into three layers, sense desire, so desire to exist and desire to non-exist. So you can leave aside the existence, the desire to exist and none. You just see sense desire. That the test for that is we call renunciation. When we at home, When you back at your place, you have already multiplied visual objects, televisions, sceneries, indoor decoration, outdoor decoration. So mind is completely bewildered. And music-wise, you have Dolby music, and you have the stereo music, Western music, Eastern music, rock music, jazz music, so much of thing. Smell-wise, so much of thing, very expensive. And the taste-wise, morning different meal, daytime different, and evening something, and in between you have short eats and drinks and hot drinks and so much of thing. As far as the furnitures are concerned, and different comfort. You see the day-by-day models of the cars. How much the scientists are thinking about our comfort. Whole world is thinking about new ways, the comfort, luxuries. So our house is full of them. So when the monkey mind get that kind of a thing, very difficult to keep bookkeeping. Keep the book. But here when you come, someone will cook and give you whether you like it or not, you eat. Because at night you feel hungry. Only two meals. And whatever the sleeping facilities, what to do? You can't book AC and non-AC rooms here. You have to put up with. So that means you are ready to try, put into practice about your sense pleasure. It's a kind of a sacrification, kind of a renunciation. And if you are going to criticize about that and going to suffer, and if you're going to miss it, you will never be a meditator. So you don't understand this. This like a operation theater. Before the operation start, the theater must be prepared, and then only you can start the operation. Likewise, you come to a meditation center. Meditation center, we have the basic facilities, and we try to put up with that. But if you are going to complain it, if you are going to miss your homely atmosphere, your mindset is not ready for this journey. So as far as the sense desire is concerned, consider we have done more than 70% of our task. Because we have already left aside our desirable people and our movable and unmovable properties, and we come here, that itself is more than 70% of our sense desire. Are we happy about that, or are we feel miss homely comfort? So therefore you must understand, you must glad, you must be happy. Now we are already better off regarding the sense desire. And each and every thought moment you must appreciate it. Each and every thought moment you must make a point to glad. With my desire, I gave it up my homely comfort. I come here, not only that, I am very glad, I am very happy. I'm going to answer my family members or dear and near one, because it is my decision. Imagine there is no dispensation like this, like Buddha. Where can we do this kind of an experiment? We don't have that much of knowledge. Lucky enough we have, and we take a risk. We come here. And when you come here, if you are not appreciating your very great revolution jump, then very easily in your reports indicate it's full of charge sheet, complaints, difficulties. That means you are not ready to appreciate what you already have done, what you already have achieved. So this is a very clear sign. If you have a good preparedness or good knowledge about the sense desire, and still if you are not happy even inside the meditation center or retreat, that indicates your perspectives, your viewpoint is not correct. So when we are planning a meditation center, you have to put everything into consideration. We have to have basic needs. We have to have basic requirements, but not princely or kingsly or facilities. If it is so, you will not go back after 10 days, because everything is free. So it will be a hell of a problem to chase you out. Now no problem, because the 7 day onward you are waiting to go back and have a dinner and have a nice sleep. We are assured. So therefore how much you are appreciating what you have done indicates who you are. That indicates how much you know the trap of the sense desire, and physically we have done it. But mentally are we appreciating it? The day you appreciate it, there you are. you are there. So this is how the theoretical understanding and the correct perspective going to give the positive energy or catalyzing effect, and then only we can try for the next desire for existence or desire or craving for non-existence. You never can think about unless otherwise you can appreciate your very renunciation. The renunciation must be basically accepted. It must be a no. Each and every moment you must throw a party. Be happy. Be glad. And then only we can go forward. I would like to sum up the talk today now, and we will continue tomorrow. How far we can make use this basic preparation for the ground, as a ground preparation for the next stage towards the other desires. So, with that remark, I would like to thank you for listening.